Welcome to Financial Freedom, God's Way. This is where you are going to continue to learn, apply, and to pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family will not only just survive, but thrive during these very, very uncertain times. Hi again and welcome everyone. This is Bob Louder from Christian Financial Ministries, and it's an absolute honor to have you with us again. It really is. Now, what's on our schedule for our 30-minute time together today? Well, first of all, during our radio seminar time, we are going to take a close look at the fourth piece of God's spiritual financial armor, which, of course, would be the shield of faith. And I promise you, you are going to be amazed at what the Lord is going to show you. Then, during our Q&A time together today, we are going to continue to dig deep into the questions that surround debt and borrowing. Today you are going to discover that to survive on a limited income, you need to get help. You do not need to use debt. We're going to learn from the Better Business Bureau about scammers who are targeting cash-strapped renters and what you can do about it. And finally, we are going to hear what John Maxwell has to say about the word imagination. And we're going to see how that word can apply to achieving financial freedom God's way. So stay tuned, won't you? It's going to be a great time together with the Lord. As we get started, as we always do, let me open us up with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for meeting with us again today. Please continue to give us ears to hear all that it is that you have planned for us to your glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Now, let's start our radio seminar segment with a bit of review. First of all, what you need to do is to recall that the Bible tells you that you do not have, nor have you ever had, a single financial problem. And why is that? Well, because the Bible tells us that finances, well, they're never a problem. They are always symptoms of a problem, and the problem is always spiritual. Now, the good news is that all spiritual problems have spiritual solutions, correct? And that is one of the reasons why God gives you all of his spiritual armor, so that you can meet and defeat the enemy who wages spiritual and financial warfare against you. Now, recall also that according to the Bible, the devil's entrance into your life, including his entrance into your financial and material life, well, it is allowed primarily through your negligence. You see, he slips in through an undisciplined, an unorganized, and an uncommitted mind, and then he begins to wage warfare against your mind and your flesh and your finances. Now, here's a question for you. Are you dressed for battle? Now we've already seen that the very first piece of armor that the Lord gives us to put on is the belt of truth, the Logos. It is the written word of God, the Bible. You see, when you put on God's belt of truth, when you prayerfully determine to make the Bible a priority in your life, well, you are starting to get dressed for spiritual, for financial warfare. But Paul tells us that there is more to God's armor than just the Bible. It's a great starting spot, but there is more. There is also, for example, the breastplate of righteousness. You know, God helps prepare you for battle with an absolute assurance that you are right with him because of who you are in Jesus Christ, because you prayed to receive him, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior. And then during our last time together, you also learned that you had better put on and keep on his shoes of peace. Recall that as a Christian, you not only have peace with God, and that's to say that you and he are, you're part of the same family, you're part of the same team. You know, not only do you have peace with God, but he also promises you the peace of God, the peace of God. And that peace, that is a peace that surpasses all understanding, that is going to give you great footing to both stand your ground and to advance and take back ground you've previously lost. And that's an important point, isn't it? God's spiritual armor is both offensive and it is defensive. So we've already talked about the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace. Next, today, this time, the shield of faith. Now, actually, my friend, actually, the Roman soldier carried two different shields. And each, well, now each would be clipped to the soldier's belt. Remember the loin belt, the belt of truth. Remember, it is the belt that holds everything together, right? Well, now the first shield is the Greek word aspis. Well, and it was, it was kind of like a giant frisbee. I mean, it was light, it was small, it was round. This is the shield he used in hand-to-hand combat, all right? This was also the shield that he carried when he displayed himself in parades. But each Roman soldier also had a battle shield. And this is the Greek word theros, which is the word that we find describing the shield of faith. In actuality, this shield was, well, for the Roman soldier, it was about 4 foot high and 2 feet wide. And it was made, listen to this, it was made from 6 layers of thick animal hide, and it was almost as strong as steel. It was exceptionally long-lasting. It was hard-wearing. Now why did the Roman soldier need all of this coverage? Well, because soldiers of that day, well, when they went into war, when they went into battles, what they did was put tar on the end of their arrows, and then they set those arrows on fire before they launched them at the enemy. You know, even a flesh wound from a flaming tar-filled arrow, you know, or the fiery darts, as Paul calls them, but even a flesh wound, that could turn to be fatal. You see, the tar inflicted into the body produced infection. And because there wasn't any penicillin back in those days, more soldiers died from the infection than they did from the actual wound. So the objective of the enemy was just to wound them and then let them die from the resulting infection. The Roman battle shield protected against these flaming arrows from head to toe. Now, it's also important to see that the Roman soldier cared for his shield in a very, very interesting way. You see, every morning the Roman soldier, well, he would thoroughly rub down his shield with oil. He would get that oil rubbed into the leather to keep it from drying out, to keep it from becoming hard and brittle and cracking. And then prior to battle, well, what he would do would be to soak his shield in water to help withstand the arrows of the enemy. Not only those tar-tipped arrows, but also those terrible fluid-filled arrows that carried fire designed to explode on impact. So, that is what the shield was from the Roman soldier's perspective. But now let me ask you, do you see some of the links that Paul makes between the Roman battle shield and our faith? Do you see some of them? Well, let's take a look. First and foremost, just as the soldier's battle shield was clipped to his belt for easy maneuvering, our shield of faith is linked to our belt of truth. You see, your faith is attached to the Logos. It's attached to the written Word of God. Listen, the presence or absence of your faith is determined by the presence or absence of God's Word in your life. So the very first point that Paul makes is that your faith and the Word of God, well, they must be inseparable. Then just as the Roman battle shield would cover the soldier from head to foot, well, Paul tells us that God gives us enough faith to make certain we are completely covered, more than enough to cover every need that could ever come up in our life. And as this shield, well, as this shield would be long-lasting, so also our faith is to be extremely tough and exceptionally durable and tremendously long-lasting. You see, no matter how hard or how long the devil beats against your faith, attacks your emotions, attacks your finances, he tries to bring on rage and anger and anxiety, unbelief and worry and all the rest, well, your properly cared for faith will stand up against and outlast each and every such attack. So when you see the devil's attacks coming against you, when you see the flaming arrows of insults, of financial setbacks and temptations, well, you need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your shield of faith is going to protect you. With God's perspective, you can see beyond your current circumstances and know, you can know that you know that you know that the ultimate victory is yours. And isn't it interesting how the Roman soldier cared for his shield? Remember, every day he would rub it with oil. And before every battle, he would soak it in water. Remember that? Well, in the same way, your faith needs the anointing of the Holy Spirit every day. You see, faith that is ignored nearly always breaks and falls to pieces during a confrontation with the enemy. And by the way, according to the Bible, you remember the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth, remember? Okay. According to the Bible, you cannot move forward in your faith on the strength of past anointings. You see, like the Roman soldier, you have to do it daily. You must do what is necessary to keep your faith alive and active and well through the regular anointing of the Holy Spirit. And just as a Roman soldier would soak his shield in water prior to battle to help withstand the fire arrows of the enemies, well, you must keep your faith completely saturated with the Word of God. Now, why would that be? Well, because, well, for example, in Colossians 2:15, this tells us that the devil may not be your whole problem. You see, if you continue to be controlled by habitual hang-ups and to struggle with the same old hassles and emotional upsets, well, your primary problem may be that you have not made the decision to submit your flesh and your mind and your finances to the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. If your shield of faith were properly anointed by the Holy Spirit and saturated in the Word of God, the devil's arrows would be extinguished on impact. So what do you do? Well, you make absolutely certain that you ask the Holy Spirit to freshly anoint your life, including your material and your financial life. Well, and you do that on a daily basis as you regularly saturate your faith with the water of the Word. All right? Now I think I want to share a couple of more very, very interesting facts. I think we have time. I want to share a couple more facts with you on the shield of faith. And I think this is just tremendously interesting. Each Roman battle shield, well, it had a metal bracket on each side that was designed to interlock with the shield next to him. You see, that way the Roman phalanx, could advance as a unit with each soldier relying on himself and the soldier next door. They were almost impenetrable when they advanced together, linked shield to shield. Isn't that interesting? Well, I got to believe that Paul is telling us that individually our faith can be a mighty defensive weapon, a mighty offensive weapon. But when we link our faith to other like-minded believers, well, we become almost invincible. And by the way, there's a difference between taking it and having it when we're talking about faith, taking faith and having faith. You see, all of us have it, but not all of us take it with us and get behind it in the day of battle. What do we do instead? Well, sometimes we try to use our wit and we try to use our wisdom. And you know what? That's never going to be enough. Because the devil is going to come at you with a barrage of fiery darts, my friend. And if you've ever seen a movie of the Roman soldiers when they're fighting and they light the tips of their arrows and then they shoot them and they just fill the heavens with thousands and thousands of flaming arrows until it looks like the skies are on fire. Well, then you have exactly the picture that Paul is trying to paint here. When the barrage hits, when everything starts going downhill, boy, that is the time to get behind your shield of faith. And as soon as you're behind your shield of faith, you are behind the sheltering arms of God, and nothing is going to be able to touch you. You are untouchable. You are unreachable. You become a Teflon Christian with protection of the living God. Take the shield of faith and stand. All right? Okay, so you have your belt of truth, you have your Bible, you have your breastplate of righteousness, you have your shoes of peace, and now you have your shield of faith, okay? Fantastic offensive and defensive weapons. What's next? What is the next piece of God's spiritual financial armor that Paul tells you to pick up and put on? Well, next is God's helmet of salvation. And we'll save that for next time. Okay, now, during our question and answer time together today, what I'd like us to be able to do is to talk a little bit more about borrowing and debt. Now, let's take a look at what you already know, okay? You've already discovered that although the Bible clearly does not prohibit borrowing, well, it is clear that the Lord would have us adopt a debt-free mentality rather than a debt-first mentality. Now to help highlight this important point, I've got a great question for us to consider today, all right? And here's the question. Bob, we are a family of four, making right at $40,000 a year. We have an extremely hard time staying out of debt. No matter how hard we try, every time we get one bill paid off, something else seems to break down and we're right back in debt again. Bob, we need help. Can you help us? Well, Jennifer, I have to tell you, given the blessing of having 30 plus odd years experience working with Larry Burkett and Dave Ramsey, I have to tell you that according to the Bible, putting all of those together, it seems clear to me that there's only one way out for you and your family, okay? You and your family must prayerfully learn to discipline yourselves not to go into debt for any reason. Now, that seems like a silly statement that would be hard to do. So let me explain just a little bit, okay? You see, one of the greatest dangers for a low-income family is to use consumer credit, particularly credit cards. You see, unless you are very, very disciplined, you should not use credit cards at all right? And furthermore, you need to make out a budget that balances. It balances income and outgo. It balances even if it means you need to sacrifice something like your car, or your house, or private school for the kiddos. But even so, even as you sacrifice, you've got to be sure to have some money set aside for each and every category of expense. And then if you had, when you have an added expense, you must believe that God has an answer and does not require you to borrow money. You see, one part of God's solution has got to be other Christians. Now, how so? What do I mean by that? Well, first, when you have a legitimate need, well, then you're going to need to let other people in your church know. Isn't it strange that in Christianity today we have great freedom to share physical problems, but practically no freedom to share financial problems? Yet God's word says 10 times as much about finances as it does about physical needs. The Bible says at the present time, your plenty will supply what they need so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. You see, the goal is equality. So that's the first point. God can provide, He can provide through other Christians. And secondly, you need to get some Bible-based financial coaching help. You really do. And where are you going to go to get that? Well, there are a lot of places that you can go. I'll give you three of the best. Number one, first of all, Crown Ministries, okay? Crown Financial Ministries, www.crown.org. Another place to go would be the Dave Ramsey Organization, www.daveramsey.com. Okay, that's two. But listen, here's the third one. Why not go to our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org to check out our free Dave Ramsey coaching and all of our free seminars and workshops. The bottom line is, when you have a problem, get help. Do not get a new loan. Now, at this point, what I'd like to do is to share a scam alert that we received from the Better Business Bureau, all right? Now, what we find is that even though the Biden administration may have extended the eviction moratorium, that does not mean that scammers postpone their dirty tricks, okay? There are con artists out there ready to take advantage of the confusion and stress that surrounds major events like the moratorium that ended last October. And by the way, with more than 4.5 million households and businesses facing foreclosure or eviction, this moratorium's end is a perfect storm for scamming opportunities. Now, here's one. Let me tell you, this is what it looks like, okay? As the eviction moratorium winds down, what you got to do is to watch out for scammers offering loans, peddling credit repair services, and promoting government programs. Now, these cons are a way to trick you, to trick desperate people out of the money that they don't have. For example, during the COVID-19 pandemic, well, the Better Business Bureau has seen a whole lot of reports of phony pandemic relief grants or government programs that are supposed to provide funding to people impacted by the pandemic. Once you quote, get qualified for the grant, well, the scammer is going to ask you to pay a processing or maybe even a delivery fee to receive your funds. And of course, the grant doesn't exist, right? And if you pay anything up front, you've just given money to the scammers, all right? So, and here's something else. Advice on free loans, debt relief, and credit repair scams work exactly the same way, okay? Nothing new here. They work exactly the same way. They promise a loan or they promise to repair your credit for an upfront fee. Well, now listen, no matter how much you may need it, do not be tempted by guaranteed loans or impossible services such as removing late payments or bankruptcy from your credit report. Just don't go there. So that's what these scams can look like. Now, how do you protect yourself from these and a whole lot of other scams as well? I'm going to give you four or five different things here. Number one, first of all, double check any government program before you sign up for it. If an organization is offering you a grant or relief funds, get to know them before you agree, before you sign anything. Take a close look at their website and read the reviews. Listen, if you think that you might be dealing with an imposter, find the official contact information and call the company and make sure that the offer is legitimate. So first of all, double check the government program. Number two, be really wary of out-of-state, out-of-the-blue emails, phone calls, text messages claiming to be from the government. In general, the government will not contact you using these methods unless, of course, you have given them permission. Here's another thing you can do. Do not pay any money for a free government grant or program. It is not really free if there is a fee involved, all right? A real government agency will not ask you for advance processing fees. They just won't do it. Instead, find out if the grant is legitimate by checking out www.grants.gov. Here's something else you can do. Advance fees are really a concern. Okay, advance fees are a concern. Not all businesses promising to help you repair your bad credit are scams. But if you are asked to pay in advance, well, that's got to be a big red flag. In both the United States and Canada, credit repair and debt relief companies can only collect their fee after they perform the services that they promise. That's important. And here's one last thing that you can do, and that is to avoid guarantees and unusual payment methods. You see, real lenders Well, they're never going to guarantee a loan in advance. They're just never going to do that. They will check your credit score and other documents before providing an interest rate and or a loan amount. Okay, they're not going to ask you to pay any upfront fees. Listen, fees are never paid via gift cards, right? They're never paid during using a cash app or a prepaid debit card, okay? Unusual payment methods and payments to an individual, well, that's a big tip-off, all right? Now, unfortunately, when times are tough for you and me, well, that is when scammers come out of the woodwork to separate us from our money. Now, what can you do? Well, you can become aware of what's happening out there and prayerfully be alert to anything that sounds too good to be true. Okay, now let's start to wrap up our time together by one of the highlights of all of our times together, and that's our Minute with Maxwell. Today, John Maxwell is going to give us his thoughts on the word imagination.
I'm a dreamer, and today's word is imagination. And to be honest with you, on Minute with Maxwell, that's one of my favorite words. Why? Imagination has no fences to it, has no boundaries. It's more than what other people maybe see for your life. I think imagination is the cousin to creativity. And I think people that allow their imagination to go beyond what is expected begin to find out very quickly that they begin to see things, experience things that they never would have before. To be honest with you, if there's a fence, I'm always the kid that jumped over the fence to see what was over on the other side of the fence. Imagination feeds off of the fact that there's always an answer, that there's always a better way, that usually there are more than one answer. So imagination feeds that creative mind, which allows you to see, do, feel, think, experience things that you would never do at any other time. Imagination has the ability to take you from the world that you live in to the world that you could live in. Only by imagination can some things be accomplished. I do hope that you'll just kind of today let your imagination go a little wild. Thanks for joining me on Minute with Maxwell.
Wow, what another great teaching. Boy, have you ever hit a wall and thought, I wonder what's on the other side of this wall of debt that I'm facing? Well, according to John, why not allow your imagination to go and dream about what it will be like to enjoy financial freedom God's way? You know, that's the best part about our imagination as far as I can see. There are no set boundaries. So dream on, my friend. Imagination. Another great Minute with Maxwell. Okay, well, that just about wraps up our time together today. Now, where have we been? Well, recall that we started out by taking a look at the fourth piece of spiritual financial armor, which is God's shield of faith. And what we discovered is that we need to ask the Holy Spirit to anoint our faith daily. We need to learn to soak our faith in the Word daily. And we also learned that we need to link our faith to the faith of others as well. And then during our Q&A time, we continued talking about borrowing and debt. And we discovered that if you are in debt, you need to get some help. What you don't need is to get a new loan. We also took a look at several scams that are sure to come about as the moratorium comes closer and closer for foreclosures and evictions. And, of course, we just finished up with our Minute with Maxwell about the word imagination. My friend, I want to thank you for being with us again today. And now remember, as we leave, remember to check out our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org. But now, well, now let me close us in a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for bringing us together again today and for each of the days to come. To your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, have a blessed rest of your day, won't you? And we're gonna see you next time as we continue down your personal road to financial freedom, God's way.